Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
October is a month of change. If things have been difficult, they will change this month.
Amen.
If things have been good, it will change for the better.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Can you believe that?
Yes.
You can, right?
Yes.
God told the children of Israel that this month to you will be the beginning of months. Because that month was significant. They had been in Egypt for over 40 years. Over 40 years. And it was finally time for them to change locations. So he said, mark this month. So he's telling you, mark this month. Things will change. For as many as can believe it, things will change. From good to the better. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
If you're the kind of person that you're in and out of hospital, that has stopped.
Amen.
You'd enjoy divine help.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's look at something. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Okay, Nigeria celebrated independence. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, thank you. Celebrated independence. When was that?
On Thursday.
And I went online and I saw people swearing. Swearing. From, like they were planning it, from 12 a.m. They started swearing for the country. You would think the country was a person. Is Nigeria a person? It's a space. So whatever swear you're swearing, it's for the people inside that space. Right? It's a space. It's not a person. Don't say, this Nigeria is useless. It's not a person. It's not feeling bad. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Don't join people like that. You know, let me tell you something. Because something is popular amongst your friends doesn't mean it's not stupid. Are you in this place?
Yes, sir.
Why are you insulting the country? You say the price of fuel has gone up. Is it only you? There are people that it has not affected. I said something that day. After, I remember, there was one post I saw. I'm not teaching about Nigeria. I just want to gist more. Don't go to the message. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Some of you have seen all your talk about Nigeria, so it's my turn. Okay. There was one post I saw that triggered me to write that. Someone said, a fool at 60 is a fool forever. And Nigeria is 60. Nigeria is a space, all right? And in that space, there are people. It is the people that define the space. The road will not build itself. It is the people that will build the road. Are you in this place?
Yes,
we say, don't judge a book by its cover. Judge it by what is inside. So we don't judge Nigeria by the space. We judge by what is inside. If you are in somewhere in Lagos, inside Nigeria, and you're saying it is useless, it's your fault. Because the container is as useful as its contents. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
So if Nigeria is useless, you're saying something about yourself. You are the cause. So it's not, it's the government. Did the government come from outside the country? They're from this place. But the Bible says you will eat the good of the land.
Yes.
Some people act as though outside the country there are no issues. I like to remind people there are beggars in America too. Do you know?
Yes.
So if you like, leave this place. I'm going. Nigeria is the cause of my problem. Go there first. You'll be shocked. There are beggars there. There are beggars. There are beggars everywhere. There are poor people everywhere. So why do you think Nigeria's case is unique? God already told you challenges would come. It might come from the country where you are at. But it says, whatsoever is born of God. You better believe it.
Yes.
That same flood that killed everybody in the days of Noah, that same flood that was destructive, raised Noah's ark.
Yes.
The same flood that is spoiling people's business in the country, that is spoiling people's homes in the country, God is saying that for you. It doesn't have to spoil that which belongs to you.
Yes.
You will be lifted. This is the inheritance
yes.
of the saints.
Yes.
In Egypt, there was darkness. Where God's people were, there was light.
Yes.
So throughout history, even in the word of God, nations have faced challenges. God is not surprised. But he always made a statement that his people will be different.
Yes.
So if you are God's person, you are God's child, don't talk like the rest of them. You would eat the good of the land.
Yes.
Because there is good here. The lines are falling onto you in pleasant places. You have a goodly heritage. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, so don't join others. Don't talk like others. When you're born again, you're sanctified. Don't talk like others. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Someone says there's bribery and corruption. Too much. There was bribery and corruption in the days of Paul. Do you know? The governor that arrested him, the Bible says he kept calling Paul, hoping that Paul would give him something in exchange for his freedom. And he knew Paul was innocent, but he wanted Paul to bribe him. So in that day, you had bribery and what? Corruption. It's not new. But we are the winners. Praise the Lord. Okay, 2 Timothy now. 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. Quickly. Chapter 3. I just want to share small things and then we'll go. Chapter 3, verse 15. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
If you're not there, say, wait for me. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Are you there?
Yes, Pastor.
If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
If you're not there, say, wait for me. I'll read it. Look into your Bible. It says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. He says, the scripture are able to make you wise. Wow. Unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, he was writing to Timothy, and Timothy was already born again. So when he says salvation, he's not talking about salvation from hell. The man is already born again. He's not going to hell. When he says salvation, salvation doesn't just apply to hell. If a building was burning, are you in this place?
Yes,
and you found out that there was a baby there. And you run and take the baby out of that burning building. You just saved that baby.
Yes.
Not from hell, but from fire.
Yes.
Are you in this place?
Yes,
if you had a friend that was in debt and they're about to come and take his house, and then you bring the money he requires to cancel that debt, you just saved him from poverty. Do you know that?
Yes,
so salvation doesn't just mean salvation from hell. It means salvation from sickness, salvation from danger, salvation from poverty, salvation from bad decisions. He says the word of God is able to make you wise. So when you study the word of God, you will know what to do to save yourself from that problem.
Yes.
Are you in this place?
Yes,
it says make you wise. Think about it. Have you ever been in a position where you realize this decision I made was not wise? This decision I made to travel was not a wise one. This person I decided to associate with, it was not a wise decision. At times you think thoughts that are not productive. You speak words that are not productive. He says, when you study the word of God, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I've told you guys before, when you study the word of God, he might not tell you today, go to Ojolegba. It's not in the Bible. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
There is no verse in the Bible that says today, go to Ojolegba. But the word of God will do something to your brain.
Yes.
It will do something to your mind. All of a sudden, you begin to think, you know, I need to go to Ojolegba. He says it will make you wise. One example I've shared so much. Solomon. The Bible says God made him the wisest man and the richest man that ever lived. I want to focus on the fact that God made him the wisest man. Are you listening to me?
Yes, Pastor.
He made him the wisest man that ever lived. When someone is wise, that means he's intelligent.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, Pastor.
The way he thinks is different. And we say, you know, normally, his brain is there, right?
Yes, Pastor.
His brain is working, it's functioning. Okay, when God met Solomon and made him wisest man, that means he did something to his brain. He did something to his brain. What the man could not think of before, he began to think about. What he could not imagine before, he began to imagine. How did God do it? He spoke. And, you know, I told you guys, if he has said something, he doesn't need to say it again. The word of God is the voice of God. God doesn't need to appear to you again and say, now wisdom is yours. No, he says when you study the word of God will make you wise. That means something would happen to your brain. Now you're reading Titus. You read chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Someone says, how does that apply to your life? You say, well, at least I know what Paul told Titus. You didn't see anything. You know everything at once. But you see, what you did not notice is that while you were reading Titus, something was changing inside of you. Okay. Because some people think, I must see everything. If a change is happening, I must see it. That's not true. When you were growing up, did you see when you were growing up? When you grew taller? You just noticed, I'm tall now. Okay. When a man dies, are you listening to me?
Yes.
When a man dies, his body is still there. For some people, they die with their eye open. Have you seen people like that?
Yes.
Their eye is open. So they are still looking. Everything is complete. But something changed inside of him. Nobody saw it, but it happened. The spirit left. So he might look okay. Oh, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
He might look okay physically, but inside, a spectacular change has happened. His spirit is no longer there. He says the word of God is able to make you wise. For example, right now you're in church. As you're listening to me, you might look the same physically. Are you in this place?
Yes.
Your hand did not grow taller. Your brain did not expand. Now your head is swelling. But he says inside something is happening.
Yes.
Maybe you came in planning to do something. By the time you're done and you're leaving, you think, I don't want to do it that way again. Something has changed.
Yes.
So the word of God can make you wise. If you want to make a decision, try this. Instead of going to meet your friends that you know are not 100% correct. Because it's amazing. A guy might have a friend that is not very successful in anything, but he wants to make an important decision and he goes to say, please tell me what you think. How would someone who is not very successful in everything tell you what to do? Now the guy tells him, he says, okay, thank you, I'll take this your advice. If anything happens, are you, but I'll take your advice. For your own life. And it could be wrong. But he says, when you study the word, for sure you will make the wise decision.
Yes.
It will make you wise. So you have an important decision to make. Where do you go to? Who do you want to marry? Where do you want to stay? Okay, open your Bible. Read Romans. Just read it. Read it. Read it. Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Read it. Something will change inside of you. Hebrews. Hebrews 2. Quickly. Hebrews 2. Or Hebrews 4, rather. Hebrews 4. I just want to show you something that I found out when I was in school and has always helped me. Hebrews 4. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
Do you know there are people that read the Bible and all they see is confusion? There are people that read the Bible and all they see is argument. Do you know? What you are seeing that is best in your life, you are seeing what is not right. They say the Bible is a bundle of contradictions. Why? It's the same book. Why are they seeing something different? Let me show you why. Verse 12. It says, for the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The guy who's reading the Bible, what is his intention? He says when he opened the Bible and he's reading, the Bible is looking at him too. The word of God is looking at him too. Let me finish this. Verse 13. He says, neither is any creature, is there any creature that is not manifest in what?
In
who is he talking about? Come on, who is he talking about? That means the word of God has sight. He hasn't finished. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Who is he talking about? The word. He says the word has sight, the word has eyes. Someone who has cancer, if they open the word of God, the word has eyes. He says, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. So as they open the word of God, that the word of God will look into the person's body. He says, is it, look at it, verse 12. He says, is it dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. So it goes into the person's system. He traces the cancer. It's a two-edged sword, and you do what? Cut it off. Cut it off. Why am I saying that? I said, if you want to go somewhere, you want to make a decision, read Romans. Read Romans. The word of God has eyes. As you're reading, he knows why you are reading. He knows your position. As you look into the Bible, the word of God is looking inside of you. And then he will do something to your brain. God might not speak to you. You might not read Romans and God says, now, my son, don't go to Ojoelegua. Go to Ikeja. It might not happen. But something would happen to the way you're thinking. All of a sudden, you just suspect that there might be traffic at Ojoelegua. All of a sudden, the word of God has done something to you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
that's
God.
Why it is a wonder. When I see people who don't have time for the Bible, I've said it many times, you are just... Someone could say, I need to hustle. I don't have time. I need to hustle. That time you don't have, the word of God can give it to you. He can. You're following me, right?
Yes, Pastor.
I'm thinking of something. I told you guys in Luke 5, Peter said they had toiled all night and they caught nothing. If you toil all night and you caught nothing, that means they wasted time.
Yes, Pastor.
And now they were about to go. Jesus comes and says, please, let me stay in your boats. And then he preaches. That means he has further wasted their time. They already wasted time. They didn't get anything. Now Jesus has wasted their time. He's done. They've not gotten anything. But I said that time that you think you'd waste with the word of God, he'll give it back to you. When they were done, he said, all right, take your ship, go to the deep, and cast down your net for a catch. And the Bible says when they did, they caught so many fishes. So many fishes. The net broke. They had to get another boat to put the fish inside. And then the two boats began to sink. He gave them their time back. So you wake up around 6 and you're rushing out. No time for the word of God. Because you think you don't have time. That time you think you don't have for the word of God, he will give it back to you. But if you don't spend time with the word of God, how do you then know the day will be successful or fruitful? When you have not gone through the surgery of the word of God for that day. How? Are you paying attention to me? Every day you can decide, today I don't know what will happen by 2 o'clock, but the word of God knows. And so I'm going to spend time with the word of God so that by 2 o'clock, if anything's about to happen, I will respond the right way. That is wisdom. It says the word of God will make you wise. Make you wise. You should follow that street on a normal day. That's the shortest cut. That's the shortcut. You should follow that street. But you spend time with the word of God, and he has made you wise. You might not even know it, but something has changed inside. Now you want to follow that street. Today you just want to stroll. So you follow a longer route. You don't know there are kidnappers there. You don't know there is danger there. But it says the word will do what? Make you wise. Now, when you study this word of God that will make you wise, you begin to realize something. we are talking about independence, so let's go in that direction. You begin to realize something. Over the years, Satan has done a lot of PR about himself. PR means publicity and advertisement about himself. So you see it in the movies. When the devil wants to attack somebody, when God wants to heal somebody, it takes time. Who brought up that idea? Who gave them that information? Who? Now, people are scared of the dark because there might be someone scary. Something might be in the dark. Who told you the thing in the dark must be scary? Who told you it can hurt you? Where did you get this idea from? Someone says, God is powerful, all powerful, but Satan has power too. Who told you? Is it God? No. So how did you get this idea? You see, over the years, Satan has set up himself to look more powerful than he is. To look bigger. Let me tell you something. Last week, are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Look at something. I will show you. Last week, we learned in John chapter 5 that a man had been crippled for 38 years. You say the demon worrying him is a powerful one. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Why? He had been crippled for what? 38 years. That's a powerful sickness. It's a big sickness. That must be a big demon. Jesus comes and immediately he's well. Oh, so that demon was not as powerful as he looked. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Jesus in Mark chapter 9 met the epileptic boy. I told you, immediately the demon saw Jesus, he started to display. He wanted to scare Jesus. He started to run. Roll, roll, roll. So Jesus said, this one is serious, so hold him, hold him, hold him. But Jesus knew. All demons are the same. Immediately he was ready, he said, you deaf and dumb spirit, come out of him. And the man was made, or the boy was made whole. What happened to Satan's power? I think those people following Jesus that period could have been asking, see how easy it is. What happened to the Satan we thought was very strong? What happened? Let me give you the last one. In Mark chapter 5, the Bible says he went to Gadara. And there was a man there. If maybe they doubted, the man was possessed by evil spirits. And the Bible says, anytime they handcuffed him, are you in this place?
Yes.
Have you seen the chain they use for mad people? It's not a normal chain. And they had tried many times. The Bible says he broke the chains. And his hand did not cut. That means it was not tight. Do you understand? He broke the chains. Then he would cut himself with stones. Demon looks so powerful. And then Jesus comes one day. And look at the demon that had been terrorizing everybody. He's now begging Jesus. Say, please, please, don't cast us out. So it would have been that easy. He knew it could have been easy. Say, please, okay, if you're going to cast us out, let us go to the pigs. And Jesus said, go. And they went. So where did we get this idea from that Satan is so powerful? Where? We got it. Not we. The world got it from Satan himself. He pushed that information. He made himself to look powerful. Jesus said, he is the father of lies. There is no truth in him. That's why you have the guy, I told you guys a long time ago, that has been a cultist. And now they tell him, if you leave, you will die. But if that man gets born again, there is nothing Satan can do. But it is the fear, the lie they tell him, now he can't get born again. Why? Because they said he would die. Who is lying to him? Satan, the father of lies. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That means the deceit. Let me show you so you know it's there. Ephesians 6, quickly. Ephesians 6. Quick, quick, quick. Verse 11. I'm going somewhere. Ephesians 6, verse 11. You're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
He says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What's wiles there? Deceit. Jesus said he only lies. Now, Paul is saying he only deceives people. deceives them to think he is powerful. He deceives them to think his situation is so bad. And they remain in that deceit. Remember, or imagine, if you were in a place, in your room, or in your house, and you hear there are thieves in the compound, and they are going from house to house, and your door, it is that day, you did not remember to buy the padlock. And now you hear, go, go, go. They've opened the door. You're in the house. Your room doesn't have door. They've entered. Now, you back it. You say, Alice, don't talk to him. Let them shoot the back, not the front. You back the entrance of the door, and you're just praying. And then you feel something on your back. Now you know you're gone. But by the grace of God, he said, let you just look at the face of the evil person that wants to kill you. You turn. You see a wheelchair. Is it thief, all right? But he's on a wheelchair. And he has a gun. What will happen? He's on a wheelchair. Leave the gun. He's on a wheelchair. He just says, so yeah, shoot now. Shoot. Do you know the Bible says Satan has been paralyzed?
Yes.
Not wheelchair type, bed type. Jesus paralyzed him. Then it's a wonder that that spirit that has been paralyzed causes other people to be paralyzed. What happened? How is it possible that a spirit that has been rendered ineffective by Jesus still has the ability to make people not be able to walk, not be able to talk? How is he doing it? That means he's lying to them. Are you seeing it?
Yes,
he's lying to them. He's hoping, depending on their ignorance, to remain so that they'll remain where they are. What I just said now is in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll end here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible says Satan is transformed into an angel of light. Why am I not surprised? This is the spirit that takes up a personality that is not his own to make himself look more powerful than he is. He's not an angel of light.
Yes.
He's not powerful.
Yes.
He's defeated. He's darkness. But to deceive people, that's what he's saying. Satan deceives. He makes himself look. I told you guys before, I said it every church we have been. So Satan hates me very well. He hates you very well. Are you in this place?
Yes.
Why has he not killed us? If he's that powerful. Someone says, hey, hey. If he comes to your room, get out. And he'll go. I like something, was it Ping's puts? He said, Satan only responds to rebuke. Don't try to be nice to him. Don't try to beg him. He doesn't hear that one. If not, Jesus would have said, beg Satan, let him go. He said, cast out devils.
Yes.
And it is God who made all things. So he has looked at Satan and said, the only thing this one responds to is shout. A shout. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Why hasn't he killed all of us? Because he can't. He is ineffective.
Yes.
Inefficient.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
2 Timothy chapter 2. You need to see this one. You need to see it. People will be shocked. Someone says generational curses. I will tell you what to do with generational curses. You see it in the Bible. And you better believe God. You have some folks, they've been trying it their own way for years. They've not been working, but they will refuse God's own. Why? It's too simple. You need the word of God so it will make you wise. Some people reject the simple path, the simple method. That's why some people are not born again today. You say it's too simple. How can you say you just, and then you're going to hell? No. You must weep. You must suffer all the bad things you have done. You must suffer for it. And then you go. And after that, it doesn't make any sense. If you did bad things in 1990, you want to suffer it in 2020. You cannot even suffer it accurately because you have to go back to 1990 to suffer it correctly. Are you in this place? If you did bad things when they are not invented AC, then you say you want to suffer for it when they have invented AC. Is it okay? Go back to when there was no AC. I'm going to answer about that. You see, but it's impossible. And so God knew it was impossible, and he sent Jesus. That thing you cannot do, he did. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 2. Or chapter 2. Verse 25. Let's have 24 to get in context. Quick. If you're there, say I'm there.
Amen.
It says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. It's talking about God's servant. Okay? It says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. That's number one thing that you should notice. He says the servant of God should instruct people that oppose themselves. Oh, so in this life, there are people that oppose themselves. They are going, one day they've moved forward, the next day they've carried themselves backward. God says there are people like that, that oppose themselves. Like in church, he says, I'm making progress. He has moved, he has made progress. At home, he says things are hard. He has gone backwards. He's the one opposing himself. He thinks it's Nigeria economy. Doesn't know it's him. The Bible says when Moses sent the children of some people to go to the promised land and check out the land, the Bible says they came back. 10 of them came back with a bad report. They said the land is very good. But let me tell you something. We saw giants in that place. And if they step on us, it's over. We should not go. Caleb came and said, let us go up at once. He separated himself with the words that he spoke. Let us go up at once. Eventually, they did not go because of those people. But the time Joshua had taken over, Caleb said, listen, I've always wanted to go to this land where there are giants. Send me. And Joshua said, all right, go. And true to what he said, he killed those giants. How do you kill giants? You go and hold their leg. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm trying to say, they were in a terrible state, but one person separated himself with the way he talked. Now the Bible says there are those that oppose themselves. Like I said when I started, someone is saying Nigeria is useless. That means nothing useful will come out of it for you. Because Nigeria is not a person. You are inside the place. If you say it is useless, then why are you surprised when everything goes useless? The ATM card, useless, not working for you. The day you want to go out, rain falls. What you insult the rain to? Let's finish this. Verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, he says, tell those people that are opposing themselves, maybe, finally, they'll realize the truth, that what is doing you is not Nigeria, it's your mouth. The problem you think you have is not your family, it's your mouth. That sickness that is not going, it is not the sickness, it is you. You have claimed it. You know, some people, anytime they want sympathy. So they always come with problems. So you pity them. If it's not, this is my body, this is my body, I don't know, I've tried everything. Then tomorrow, this is my daughter, I don't know, UNILAC, they're not giving her admission. Then tomorrow, this is our street. It's them. It gets more serious. Let's finish this. 25 again. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. I want you to get what he's saying here. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Those of us at the back, can you hear me?
Yes,
all right. I want you to understand what he's saying here. He's saying there are people, because they oppose themselves, they have fallen into the trap of the devil. Satan set a trap. They oppose themselves into that trap. The guy says, this life is up and down. No, one day you're healthy, the next day you're sick. Who is he telling? His colleague at work. He has opposed himself. Tomorrow he'll be sick. He has fallen into the trap of the devil. Look at what God says. He says, for people like that, that are falling into financial trap, sickness trap, family problem trap, he says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may do what? Recover themselves. It is not God that will deliver them. He says they will be the one to recover themselves. That's why they go from place to place asking God to deliver them. Let me tell you, if God wants to deliver you, he brings his word. He wants you to know the truth. So that family problem, he's not going to come and jack you. No. He says when you acknowledge the truth, hey, praise the Lord. The guy who is always going to hospital for one tablet or the other, when he acknowledges the truth, by his stripes, ye were healed. The Bible says he will recover himself from that problem. That means he can wake up one and say, you know what? I'm not going again. Health is mine. Now, this is the interesting part. Let's finish this verse. He says, they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying because of the way they behave, because they're always opposing themselves, they are falling into Satan's trap. And not just that, he cannot play Ludo with their life. So today, the guy has an interview. That's when Satan strikes him with sickness. The day he doesn't have anything important doing, he's okay. Satan is just, he says, look at it, he says, who are taken captive by him at his will. Anytime Satan is not busy, who can we disturb today? There's that guy that's been saying Nigeria Jesus. Okay. Let them see his card in that ATM. Satan just plays with their life. But you see, those people, they don't need prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is good. He says what they need is to know the truth. To know that it is the words that they have been saying that have put them in that situation. He says when they acknowledge the truth, they will do what? Recover themselves. Now the guy will say, Nigeria is useful. Nigeria is useful for me. Yeah. What happened? He just delivered himself. The guy is saying, every September, I don't know. I'm always in the hospital. When he realizes the truth, firstly, who is putting you in the hospital? The devil that has been paralyzed. How can someone that needs healing, praise the Lord, put you in a hospital? How is it possible? When he realizes, this thing doing me does not have to do me. Are you in this place?
Yes,
so I don't have to say, this November I'll be in the hospital. No, this November I have plans.
Yes.
I have good plans. The Bible says he has recovered himself. I told you guys. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
While I'm telling you what I told you guys, quickly go to Acts 9. You must see this one. An example of this verse. Someone says, so you mean all the generational cuts in my family of fibroid here, fibroid there, I can recover myself if any man be in Christ.
Yeah.
You better believe it. He's a new creature. Someone says, no, this problem is genetic. No, no. He says you are a chosen generation. You have a different gene now. You have a different gene. Someone says, my own is AS, SS. No, when you get born again, it's DD, divinity. Or G-O-D. One is three. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Acts 9, verse 32. So it will be clear that I'm over. I'm done. In case I come down. Someone says, Pastor, go up. Acts 9. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
Verse 32. You have to listen to this. There are people who think, because this problem has been in my family for long, it will take a long time for me to come out of it. It's not true.
Yes.
Then why is it God? If he has to take time, the time human beings take, then he's not God. Are you in this place?
Yes.
No, if someone met me and said, this is your God, this problem is suffering for 30 years, it will take 40 years. Say, are you sure this is God at all? If he's God, then he should be big enough to do anything.
Yes.
Acts 9, verse 32. And it came to pass, as Peter passed through all the quarters, he came down on also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. I read again. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. Meaning, he went to a city called Lydda, and in that city, he met Christians. Do you understand?
Yes.
So everybody he met in that place was a Christian. Okay. Verse 33. And there, amongst the Christians, he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. The man was a Christian, but for 8 years he had been paralyzed. This is not an unbeliever. Are you in this place? No, this one has heard the gospel. He has believed. He is a saint, but he's paralyzed. Verse 34. And Peter said unto him, I want you to notice, Peter started preaching to this man. He said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And the Bible says, he arose immediately. He didn't pray for this man. He just told him the present reality. Before he was sick, yes, for 8 years, Peter came and said, listen, Jesus Christ came. The Bible says, by his stripes you were healed. That's what he's preaching to this man here. He says, Jesus Christ maketh thee what? Whole. That means you don't have to be paralyzed anymore. The man heard it, believed it, and got up. The Bible says, when they acknowledge the truth, they will recover themselves from the snare of the devil. It says, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise. And the man got up. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
This is an example. This is a Christian. You should not live the same life with unbelievers. You just realize, this is my hearing issue. It's time it goes, and it will go.
Yes.
You just realize it. The Bible says, if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, it says that same spirit, if it dwells in you, shall vitalize your mortal bodies.
Yes.
When you got born again, the Spirit of God came to dwell inside of you. It is the Spirit that raised Jesus from hell. If he raised him from the hell, he can raise you out of poverty.
Yes.
Are you seeing it?
Yes.
If he raised him from hell, he can raise you out of that sick bed.
Yes.
He says he will vitalize your mortal bodies.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When you get born again, you receive true independence.
Yeah.
Your life is no longer dependent on Satan and his antics. Your life is no longer dependent on science. Your life is no longer dependent on the dictates of this world. No. It says, Jesus Christ maketh you whole. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Speak in other tongues.